Good morning. It's almost 20 minutes until the top of the hour. Dr. Alex McFarland is a religion and culture expert, director of Christian Worldview and Apologetics at the Christian Worldview Center of North Greenville University. He's co-host of American Family Radio. I could go on and on and on. He's written 19 books. He's got a new one out called Stand Strong in Your Faith, Live What You Believe with Confidence and Passion. And I know you do that. So I am excited to be talking about that. Good morning.
Good morning, my friend. Thank you for having me again.
Thank you. And I don't want to pester you, but I need your walk-up music. So get out your guitar, record your song, and send it over via MP3, and we'll put that up for you.
You got it. It's coming. I was playing my guitar this morning. You know, I get up, I have devotions, I generally have tea or coffee, and I got to play a little bit of guitar to start the day.
You know? I love it.
So I'm gonna cut a track for you.
Awesome.
I will.
Yeah, like, you know, 20 seconds would be perfect. All right.
Sure.
I want to talk about what's happening, obviously, in our culture. There's been a hot topic today, and I want to return to it because even the strongest Christian believers can certainly get caught up when the devil tries to creep into our lives and tear apart our Christian community, and he uses culture to divide us and polarize us. And I hate to say it, it works on a bunch of levels, doesn't it?
Well, it really does. It really does. How unfortunate that sometimes the gospel, the message that the Son of God died on the cross, paid for our sins, rose from the dead, and we can know Christ through faith in our heart. We can be born again. How unfortunate that that message, which is for all people, can sometimes be obstructed by trivialities and the cultural differences that divide us, you know, whether that be music or style of dress or one of a number of things. But it is a call, I think, as Christians, that we need to always be committed to the Great Commission. I mean, that really, really is the purpose of life for the Christian, is to live out. You know, the Bible has Mark 16:15, preach the good news to all creatures. Matthew 28:18-20, make disciples of all nations. I mean, John Wesley, okay, here, think about this. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said, "We have nothing to do but the saving of souls." And that's really true, isn't
wow.
it?
I love it. Now, Alex, we're obviously being fed a lot of false messages by secular media outlets and movies, music. There's all kinds of stuff that is obviously big distractions. And as believers, we need to fill ourselves and better understand biblical truth. And, you know, that's something we got to stay focused on.
We do. And I would encourage moms and dads to really model this in front of their kids, Christian parents, that is. For the believer, all of life is a question of stewardship, really. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Paul said that we are not our own. We're bought with a price. And I believe the Christian, the believer who is really serious about living for the Savior and hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant," we've got to always look at our time, our abilities, our resources, and our influence in terms of stewardship. You know, we preachers have to alliterate things, but time, talent, treasure, testimony. We've all got those four resources, and they really belong to Christ. So for the Christian, you know, what I do, how I spend my time, how I'm influencing others, how I really handle my finances, all of those things God has entrusted to us in terms of stewardship.
Yeah. Now, Alex, I know you're going to be putting yourself in this group, but do you believe that pastors nowadays are just kind of sticking with safe topics instead of really addressing some of the most, you know, critical issues that everyone is facing?
Yeah, I think so. Listen to this. A man came to me not too long ago, and he was very upset. He had visited several churches around Charlotte, North Carolina. Charlotte is one of America's major cities, over 1 million people in the greater Charlotte area, 700 and some churches. Okay, this guy is a PhD and, you know, very well-educated professional person. I mean, he would be the kind of congregant any pastor would want in his church. So he came to me and asked me, could I recommend a church? And I recommended several. He said, "Look," he said, every sermon I heard, he and his wife and daughters had visited for about a year, several churches. He said, "It's always about communicating with my spouse or time management or how to overcome depression. And he looked at me, he said, look, I'm not depressed. I'm not sad. He said, my wife and I communicate well. I don't need tips on time management. I don't need to know how to overcome depression. Mm-hmm. He said, I want to hear the word of God. Now, this is a PhD who is hungry for the word. You know, John Milton, who wrote Paradise Lost, a line in one of Milton's books says, the hungry sheep look up and are not fed. And, I think that a lot of pastors, and hey, I've pastored two churches, I understand the dynamics of pastoring a small church and a church of over 2,000 people. Look, far too many pastors, rather than being a Moses thundering down from Sinai and giving, you know, what thus saith the Lord, far too many pastors are like B-grade motivational speakers. I mean, really. And pastors, with the world becoming a powder keg of instability, people are concerned for the future and the state of their soul. Now more than ever, we need to proclaim the truth of God's word. And this is what we were called to do. Indeed, it's what we were made for. So get out there in the danger zone and talk about those topics that need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. Alex, I want to take a little break, but when I come back, I want to talk about a recent news release that you said society is counting on the church to explain God's take on moral issues, political issues, and hard truth in an honest, reliable way, even if it's uncomfortable. I want to talk about that when we get back. It's 15 minutes until the top of the hour. Thanks for being with us. I'm speaking Dr. Alex McFarland. Good morning. It's 13 minutes until the top of the hour. I'm speaking to Dr. Alex McFarland via Skype. Alex has written 19 books, but hey, who's counting? His most recent one is called Stand Strong on Your Faith, Live What You Believe with Confidence and Passion. And Alex, you recently said in a news release that society is counting on the church to explain God's take on moral issues, political issues, yeah, and hard truth in an honest, reliable and way, even if it's uncomfortable. It certainly is going to be uncomfortable, isn't it?
That's true. But, you know, the good news is there's really not an issue that we face today that is not in some way, either directly or indirectly, addressed by the Word of God. And I want to call on pastors to really preach the Word of God line by line, precept by precept, verse by verse. You know, we often call that exegetical teaching and preaching. And, you know, as a traveling speaker and evangelist, apologist, you know, we're really guilty of always being topical. And there's a time for topical messages. But in the preaching calendar of the church, I've really come to believe, I mean, I am passionately convicted of this, that what the Lord will use to grow the church, to equip the body, and to really change the worldview of people is the Word of God. You know, I love apologetics. I mean, C.S. Lewis, Josh McDowell. I mean, I've lived in this world for 25 years and been a big participant. But really, one passage of Scripture has more power than a library of apologetics, as much as I love apologetics. And so things like abortion, human sexuality, gender, marriage, salvation, the truth of the gospel versus all of these false ideologies. If we as pastors and Christian leaders would preach, teach, live, exhort the word of God, bathe it in prayer, but give the scriptures God's take on all these issues, it would change the world. It really did. You know, Martin Luther during the Reformation, and by the way, this is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, 1517, this is 2017. Somebody told Luther, you know, you're the greatest leader, you're the great reformer. And Luther said this, Martin Luther said, quote, I did nothing. God did it all. He said, I merely preached and taught the word of God, and God did the rest. And so the word is powerful. And if we preach it and preach those passages that, you know, point people to the issues of the day, I mean, God will use that.
Mm-hmm. Alex, we're certainly looking at our Western civilization really unraveling, and it's difficult in society to remain strong and faith-filled for many when we're faced with some of the really great cultural challenges that are in front of us. How do we get equipped for this?
Oh, great question, great question. Well, you know, there are really four things that are so problematic. I mean, we've witnessed really in the last, in under 20 years, I mean, since 9/11, the explosive growth of Islam, and really the mainstreaming of Islam, as they've very much had a free pass within the media. And even in America's schools, Islam is presented and taught, and we hear about just what a wonderful, wholesome worldview Islam is. Our kids are taught that, which it's tragic. But there's Islam, there's really a militant secularism, and then there's been the homosexual movement, the mainstreaming of homosexuality and now transgenderism. But the fourth really pernicious, very insidious trend has been the breakdown of the family. And that occurs in secular and Christian homes. Okay, here is the thing that I would pray to the Lord the church would be doing right now. Of course, preaching the word and attending to the life of the mind, Christian worldview, defending the faith, obviously living it. I mean, we need to be authentic, and we've got a true message. We need to be true messengers. But here is the thing that I would urge churches and Christians everywhere to start like today, and that is praying, interceding. And you're right, brother. I mean, we're witnessing the unraveling of Western culture. I mean, Google theatlantic.com, which is a good secular source to read. Pundits that are not within 10 miles of a pulpit, sociologists, historians, are really deeply concerned about the breakdown of the family, the redefinition of marriage, the unraveling of Western society, because they know. I mean, you know, the economy ebbs and flows. Business, you know, is cyclical. But if you lose the family, you lose everything. I mean, really. And millennials and younger, and I love young people, but millennials do not have, they don't have the ethic of churchmanship that maybe was inculcated within us. They don't have the ethic of morality, but they don't have the ethic of commitment and family. Child rearing is seen as burdensome, largely. And so I would say, my goodness, it's a great opportunity to be a Christian right now. It's a great time to be alive, of course. But it's also, we've got some heavy lifting to do, and it's got to begin with prayer. And I'm just not seeing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not seeing concern on the part of pastors. Some, but not all. We ought to be having some serious prayer meetings right now, and we're not.
Yeah, you know, Alex, I probably want to devote a lot more time to your new book because I'm very excited about it. I'm going to go on Amazon after the show and buy it. And it's called Stand Strong.
God bless you.
Yeah, Stand Strong in Your Faith. What are some messages that readers, if they did get this book, would learn? What would they find out?
Well, thanks very much about the book. Yes, Stand Strong in Your Faith. It's a great book to give young people, especially those going away to college. It's published by Broad Street. I'm loving working with this wonderful publishing house. It's available everywhere. But some of the messages, one is this. I mean, we live in the golden age of apologetics. We really do. I mean, there are a lot of challenges to the faith, liberal theology, the challenge of militant atheism and evolution. The good news is, I mean, the evidence is on our side. But there's also a real inspirational message that, think about this. You're one person, but God can use your life to impact eternity. See, it's a win-win on every level. Mm. Not only will you be enriched personally, if you really take the hand of Christ and drill down deeply, invest in your walk and your witness, not only will you have intimacy with the Lord, not only will your family and those around you be blessed, not only can you impact the culture, change eternity, but you'll be rewarded in heaven. I mean, with Christ and Christianity, it's a win-win on every level. Plus, it'll satisfy you. I just want to say this. I'm a guy. I love hobbies. I play the guitar. You know, I've got a lot of avocations. But here's the deal. Your golf game, your, you know, whatever the hobby is, the bass boat, it's not going to satisfy you. You've got the chance, my dear friend, to invest in Jesus. And one day you'll look back and you'll see that you lived a life that counted for eternity, and you'll have fulfillment and gratification, peace in your heart. And that's something that no golf game can give, ultimately.
That's true. Alex, you make me want to stand up quickly and cheer. But if I stand up too quickly, I could pull a hamstring. So thanks.
Or a mic cord, and we don't want to do that.
Thanks for being on the show. Next time you come back on, I do want to talk more about your book, and I'll have a chance to discuss it because I will have read it by then. So thanks so much being a guest. God bless you. Have a great day.
You.
Yep. It's 4 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break, and then we'll be back to wrap up the show.